You are tuned in to Black Talk Radio News. This is our afternoon news and music mix, bringing you information and more Monday through Friday from noon to 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. We are joined on the line by our first guest before we bring on Mr. LaRon Barton, who's an old stranger to the Black Talk Radio Network. Let me just go ahead and say that he has been on before, but he recently published an article, and he's a prolific writer. He writes a lot of articles, gets published in different outlets and what have you. So, but this is coming to you from LaRonBarton.com, which is titled, I Don't Care About a Statue, Pacification in the Fight Against Racism. And we want to have a conversation, some dialogue with him around this issue, which has been a big issue here in the South, being a person who lives in the South that goes back years, just hasn't really gotten any media coverage. So very interested. Of course, Durham, North Carolina, we reported last week, was one of those cities where a Confederate monument celebrating racism, white supremacy, slavery, violence, treason, and all that good stuff. Yeah, it was pulled down. And that's a case we're going to have to keep up with to see how those young people come out. They have been charged with felonies. So let's go ahead and welcome in Mr. Barton. Thank you for joining us. May I call you LaRon? We old friends, like to think.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Scotty, man, thank you for having me on the show again. Always a pleasure to be on Black Talk Network. You guys always have very constructive dialogue and shows. You know, I'm a big fan of your show, big fan of the Cows, and I'm really happy that, you know, Black folks can get together and talk about issues that really matter, you know.
All right. Well, thank you for that compliment. We'll be coming up on our 9-year anniversary in a couple of months. That's it's hard to believe, you know, that we've been maintaining that long. So let's get to your article. This is actually a topic I have written about. When I say write, I don't mean put out any articles, but written about on social media, as well as actually sent a letter to the North Carolina ACLU asking for representation to challenge these monuments under the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, playing my U.S. citizen card, saying that as a U.S. citizen and as a veteran, it is a violation of my rights to make me pay for the maintenance of these statues. So we're actually on this particular issue, I would say, of opposing views. But again, it's always great to dialogue. That doesn't mean we're opposing each other. We just may be on the flip side of the issues. And I hope, you know, in the time we have with you, that we can both, consider both perspectives. So first, I'm going to be a little sarcastic with you. I'm just keeping it real. People who know me personally, that's how I am. But you say you don't care about the statue, but you wrote an article about the statues. Would you not say that's a contradiction?
So let me explain that. So when I said that I don't care about the statues, what I meant was is that I don't want the statues to be the end all be all. You know, I guess I don't want us to look at the statues as a panacea for defeating racism, white supremacy, when we have other issues such as, you know, Flint not having clean water still. We have, of course, African-Americans, specifically Black males being incarcerated at very high rates. The fact that, you know, in states such as Colorado and Washington with marijuana being legal, Black people are arrested in twice as many numbers now. You know, the fact that we have a racist white supremacist as a president. I mean, so it's funny, like, whenever there's a big tragedy, you know, one of the first things that comes is like, okay, well, you know, let's run and take down these statues. And I'm like, the statue, like the Robert E. Lee statue didn't have anything to do, with Dylan Storm Ruth killing the non-parishioners at the church in South Carolina, you know.
But there's not. Let me interject there. But Dylann Roof was radicalized. And there's pictures of him, and he wrote about going to a Confederate museum. He took the pictures with the Confederate flags, and he was totally bought in to that culture, which was a culture based on racism, white supremacy, slavery, just the total domination of black people. So Dylann Roof, Robert E. Lee, the most recognized figure from that time of the Civil War, although he was just a general, he is the one that's talked about the most. I guess it's because he's been celebrated in media, like the Dukes of Hazzard. I think they called their car General Lee. So, yeah, General Lee is big, especially in Virginia. But I disagree with you that it played that this propaganda, which monuments are all symbols of propaganda. They convey ideals. They played no role in radicalizing or whatever people want to call Dylann Roof, doing what he did. I say it did.
But I mean, like, don't you think like that's such an easy target just to, instead of, addressing the problem at itself, which is the radicalization of these young white men, and actually, creating laws, establishing task force that specifically go after these men. I mean, going back to the church in South Carolina, Barack Obama came, he sang a Negro spiritual. He talked about mental health, gun control, a little bit of racism. And the only thing that happened was that the Confederate flag came down. And I'm like, well, this was a member of Congress that was killed. So I would think wouldn't there be harsher penalties, or wouldn't there be more laws erected that specifically target racist white supremacists?
Well, you don't need any more laws. We don't need any more task force. We didn't need Barack Obama's task force on policing in the United States. The statistical data was already there. The work had been done by all. All we needed was enforcement of the laws that's already on the book. I've talked about President Ulysses S. Grant, who destroyed the Ku Klux Klan after the Civil War during his presidency, after Congress armed him with the Klan Act of 1871. Now, I've tried to do some research. I don't know if that law is still on the books. Somebody who I don't know, who I don't trust, who I think was being deceptive, tried to claim that the law was found unconstitutional and was repealed. But I don't see that. I could find no evidence that the Klan Act of 1871 had been repealed. And then I said, even so, you have the U.S. Patriot Act. You're using the U.S. Patriot Act. So it's not the people that's to blame. It's the people who are quote unquote in charge. That's on Barack Obama for not using, or the people in his administration who are to blame for not doing that. But I just want to say, we don't need no more studying. People been studying racism. Okay, they've been studying slavery for hundreds of years. We don't need no more studies.
I totally agree with that, right? But I mean, and we're with the grants that, we don't need to interview these people anymore. We don't need to write books about them. I mean, there's just studies written ad nauseum about racist white supremacists, right?
Right.
But what I'm saying is that, Scotty, it looks like, even fast forward, we look at Charlottesville, with Heather Heyer dying. And it just seems like the only thing that has came out of that, is that two things, Donald Trump, and I'm not expecting anything out of Trump because, Trump's a racist white supremacist and he's just a total moron. He's saying things such as, oh, well, there's hate on both sides. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, without doing, the easiest thing to do is to take down a statue. And listen,
it's actually not that easy. If it was that easy, I wouldn't have been seeking legal representation and having to possibly raise funds, because the ACLU, which also represented the white supremacist terrorists, to get the permit after the city of Charlottesville turned down and said, no, we're not going to allow you to engage in terrorist ideology, and the ACLU fought for them. That's the main one, but I don't want, I don't want the ACLU if I had to find a private attorney. But if it was that easy, let me say this, LaRon. These statues have been started going up right after the giant Klan march on Washington, D.C., when they was all hoodied up and it had the American flag along with the other. I don't know if they had the Confederate flag, but this was also after Woodrow Wilson, President Woodrow Wilson, screened the white supremacist terrorist propaganda film, Birth of a Nation, in the White House. This is the time period that these statues been going up. This is when our people, when we say our people, give me just a second. Let me see if we got somebody else on the line. I'm sorry about that. When we say our people, because both of us, you and I, are both black, then, and this is Black Talk Radio, I assume that's what you mean, black people, right? So black people, black people had no, you know how they were terrorized during that period. But our people have been wanting these statues down for quite some time because our people understood the message that was sent. When I understood before this even became a national issue years ago, going to file my paperwork, my DD-214, showing that I've served in the military, I'm a veteran. They recommend you put a copy on file at the courthouse. So I'm going to the courthouse, right? This is the new courthouse. And right before I hit that door, here's a Confederate statue to soldiers who fought for racism, white supremacy, and slavery. Right there in my face in my courthouse. And I knew what that was saying to me. So it's not easy to take them down.
But at the same time, you know, like instead of, and again, I'm not expecting this, this administration to do that, but I mean,
he's not Donald Trump's not
a white. I'm sorry, what was that?
Donald Trump is not going. He's not. No. He got Andrew Jackson in the Oval Office. In his portrait. He openly celebrates racist white supremacist slavers. So I don't expect the federal government to do anything. But listen, LaRon, it's not the federal government that's taking down these statues. And these statues were coming down way before Charlottesville. New Orleans was taking them down. And it wasn't because the government was taking them down as a way. You use the word pacifier. I think of a little baby crying and then you stick a pacifier in his mouth. But this has been a long going battle for years. And the one that you cite, Durham, North Carolina, didn't the government had nothing to do with taking that down. That was pulled down by Asian and white kids. And I think a black person, I don't know how much they participated, but I saw one black person who was dancing around the statue. But the people pulled that down. They pulled that down as a response to Heather Hayers. So it's not the government that's behind these things. Even Charlottesville, a young girl who I guess, you know, in her innocence and not being corrupted by the system. And I can't tell you if she was black, white, Hispanic or whatever. But a young girl who visits this public park to play said, looked at that statue, perhaps looked up who this man was, what he stood for, and said, it's wrong for us to celebrate. She had enough sense to know that this was giving this person a place of honor. It was celebrating that person and everything that goes with that person. So that young girl filed that petition and her local council people then took a vote. And that's how it came down. So, you know,
So let me just state this clearly. I am for removing these statues, but in the piece, I also say explicitly, if we're gonna do the statues, then let's not stop there. As a young child, I was always told, if you're gonna do something, do it all the way, complete it. So that means let's not do this half-assed, excuse the language, by just simply taking down these statues. That means that this entire nation idolizes and praises our white supremacist leaders in the past, such as, you know, George Washington, such as Thomas Jefferson, such as, you know, as you said, Andrew Jackson. So in the piece, I talk about let's sort of reframe these characters in our educational system as being rapists and racist slave owners. While we're at that, let's rename all of the military bases that are named after Confederate soldiers, that are named after Confederate generals. While we're at that, hell, man, like, why don't we remove the Lincoln Monument? Why don't we? And this may be me just thinking totally outside of the box or thinking crazy, but hell, like, let's go to Mount Rushmore, man. I mean, so that's what I'm saying, Scotty. I mean, it's like, I just feel like that, you know, removing these statues are cool, but if we're not going to go all the way, then why are we going to do it then?
Okay, I don't think it's cool. I think it's justice. I think it's a correct thing to do, not because it's cool or whatever or some kind of fad or anything like that.
Sure.
But Rome wasn't built in a day. You've heard that saying. Rome wasn't built in a day. Neither did Rome crumble in one day. So let's say we got a wall that represents white supremacy, and this wall is very strong and is resistant to anybody trying to tear the wall down. So what you can do is, based on the tools that you do have to take this wall down, is to weaken it structurally. So you start poking and probing for weak spots, and you start chipping away, and you chip away, and then you start removing this brick right here in a strategic location. You remove that brick right there in a strategic location, and you keep going. It's a process. You're not going to do all that in one day. Again, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither will it crumble in a day. But as long, I see it as a positive thing, as long as people are doing something. Now, it's not easy, but let's use it in this context. It's easier to get the public opinion on your side to take down an obvious symbol and injustice of forcing American citizens and victims of these people or their descendants to pay for the upkeep of these monuments. I mean, we're talking a lot of money. And while we got people that's homeless and people going hungry and we spend the money on. So I get it's easier to take the Confederacy down because the Confederacy tried to destroy the United States. You can convince most people that it makes no sense to celebrate people who tried to destroy this thing that you like. So, you know, so, yeah, it's easier than taking down Mount Rushmore. But who's to say that people are going to stop? Each generation makes its strides. The system counters. It does a counter. Then the people have to regroup, and then they counter. And it's just a long struggle. So I don't think it's realistic to expect all these things to happen at once. Now, simultaneously, let me say this, and I'll let you respond. Simultaneously, while people were pulling down or voting, and the lady in Baltimore, the mayor of Baltimore, I think correctly stated that after what happened in Charlottesville, that under these special powers that I have, I can declare this thing a threat to a threat to, let's just say, the peace, a threat to the security. Right. And so she bypassed what they would have had to go through, and they haven't taken it down yet, but she's ordered it to be taken down. Now, while all of this was going on, we had a historic march in Washington, D.C., focusing on one of the things that you mentioned. You didn't use the term mass incarceration, but you see all these people getting locked up. That's modern day slavery and human trafficking. And we were in Washington, D.C. We went to the Lincoln Monument and made some propaganda pointing out that Lincoln was a liar and that the 13th Amendment did not abolish slavery. And so, you know, and then in 16 other cities, they were in solidarity and holding their own rallies and marches, which we call public education, that this ain't mass incarceration. This is slavery and all of that. So all I'm saying is that we got people who can walk and chew bubble gum at the same time, my dear brother.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Please go ahead. I'm tossing it back to you.
No, man. I mean, like, you know, I'm 100% for the marches against mass incarceration. I mean, obviously, you know,
it's slavery. We call it slavery. I gotta correct you. We hate that term, mass incarceration. It's slavery, brother.
Oh, you know, my bad. You're right. You know, I'm against 21st century slavery. You know, and I'm for the new abolitionist movement. But what I'm saying is this though, for me and just, you know, from my vantage point, it looks like that, you know, some of these statues get removed, right? And it sort of like quells the unrest. And then, you know, things sort of go back to, I guess you could say, quote unquote, normal. But it just seems like, and this is something that I've seen in a lot of the movements, you know, this within this century, is that there's a lot of strides. You know, like there's this great build up, a lot of strides. Then the powers that be, they sort of grant us, or they give us, you know, trinkets or little, or you know, shows of solidarity.
I would say concessions. Exactly. Would be a good word.
Yes, sir. That's the word that I was looking for. It's still a little early, but it's all good. But I mean, yeah. So they grant us a little concessions. We're appeased. We think that's progress, and then we stop. And then I just feel like that these statues are just concessions, man. And you know,
if they are concessions. And yeah. Again, each one has come down under different circumstances. I would have to say that black people are not being pacified, because we've seen movement, like I mentioned at the beginning, since Gina 6, we've been seeing a mass movement of people. And then we should also recognize that it ain't just no one group or no one movement that's against this. These are different movements who are collaborating or agreeing on a position and lending support. So I don't think we could point to the black community or point to the feminists who out there who been attacking it based off of Heather Hay or whatever their motivation and reason for taking up the cause. And then, you know, so it's different people, man. It's different. It's let's just call it Americans. People classified as absolutely. Americans.
It's just a different, I mean, you know, it's a different pack. I mean, like different packs of people fighting for different reasons. I mean, you know, I guess we should just all care about the end result, right?
Right.
You know, it'll be really interesting, Scotty, to see how this unfolds towards the end of the year and the beginning of next year. If I were a betting man, I would say this movement to remove these statues has no legs. And I think this is going to probably sputter out around December.
Well, if it does, it's already served a great purpose. And that great purpose comes in educating the world. South Africans, there are articles coming out of South Africa that said that South Africa thought that in other countries, people in Africa who thought that this was the land of opportunity and the United States didn't deal with racism, had done away with racism, and them African Americans are just lazy. And oh no, this Charlottesville has shown them that racism and white supremacy is still alive. This is what they have said, and standing in solidarity, and South Africans who are engaged in their own struggle, who are not being pacified, and who have been pulling down monuments and statues themselves. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? I'm just glad to see some activity.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and hey, it's better than say, you know, see, this was in South, this is in Virginia. It's better than the governor, you know, issuing a formal apology. I mean, like, you know, and paying us lip service. This is actual work, you know. And again, man, like, you know, I applaud everyone who is taking actions to get these flags taken down, to get these monuments taken down. I just fear that people are going to think, hey, you know what, that's the end game.
No, it shouldn't be. And you are right to say
it's not the end game.
You're right to keep telling them that. But what I'm saying is we have to also be encouraging, and we can't sound so pessimistic. I'm not accusing you of that or cynical. You know, I'm encouraging. Right. I'm encouraging those white kids that was out there fighting them white terrorists. And we need to see more of that. Okay. Hey, I can't say that it's going to end white supremacy today, tomorrow, or next week, but y'all need to be handling them terrorists because that's in your community. You know, I shouldn't have to come in your community and deal with them terrorists. So I want to be encouraging of that type of behavior. Anything that promotes justice.
I agree with you with that. I'm 100% pro Antifa. And, you know, I'm liking what I'm seeing some white folks out there getting their hands dirty. Finally, I mean, I caution everybody, you know, don't fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Don't think that it's kind of like what, and I believe it was either, I think Frederick Douglass or W.E.B. Du Bois said something to the effect of, don't confuse motion with progress. And
Frederick Douglass also said, you mentioned old Fred. And our great abolitionist ancestor who said that also power concedes nothing without a demand.
This is true. The brother was brilliant, man. Like, arguably the second greatest black man to ever live, next to Malcolm X. But anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, if we're gonna take down these monuments, then we need to push for an overall scrub of just America we need to push for an overall scrub of these monuments, of these figures, of these plaques from American society, because I mean, hell, man, like, you know, we can take these down, right? But then, you know, when your grandchildren go to school, they're still going to be reading how George Washington was this great patriot when he was just an incredibly ruthless, you know, marauding.
It was a failure as a general. He was a racist and failure as a general, because I study that history. I educate my own children, because first and foremost, like Malcolm said, only a fool allows his enemy to educate his system. So they have compensatory laws on the books that say you have to send your children to school. But also we promote homeschooling on this network. Okay. But it's on us. It's on us. But George Washington, we need to tell everybody the truth is he was a failure as a general who banned black colonists, free or enslaved, from serving in the Continental Army. And he lost the first six of the nine battles of the Revolutionary War. And only after he lifted the ban on black people serving in the Continental Army, because the British certainly were allowing black people to serve and fight. So then they won the last three battles, and without black people, this country wouldn't even exist. And then these treacherous men. So yeah, I'm all for telling the truth, but it's a process. It's a long, long process. And we just got to, let's hope that those who are taking these actions on these monuments are also taking up the actions in other areas that you speak of. But LaRon, we got to run, man. Tell everybody how they can keep up with you, how they can contact you. Thank you for getting up early in the morning to join me today. Man. But tell everybody how they can keep up with your writing.
Yes, sir. Well, first off, Scott, again, thank you for allowing me to be on the network, man. It's always a good conversation. You guys can find me at www.laronbarton.com. That's LeronBarton. I'm a featured columnist for the Goodman Project. My work has appeared in Ravishly, Salon, East Bay Express, just BuzzFeed, just like a whole gaggle of places that I can't remember off the top of my head. But I mean, yeah, you know, I'm also on Twitter at MainlineLaron. And I'm on Instagram, LaRon L. Barton. You know, I'm always looking for great conversation such as this one. And, if you like my stuff, great. If you don't, great. And also I'm on Facebook under LaRon L. Barton. So, you know, please drop a line.
All right, LaRon, you stay safe behind these enemy lines and just do whatever you can using your talents and skills to fight against racism, white supremacy, and slavery. Slavery, man. Keep calling it slavery. It's not mass incarceration. The Constitution says it's slavery.
That's permanently lodged into my lexicon now. So, like, mass incarceration is out. It's slavery. Scotty, Thank you so much again, man. Much appreciated. Much love.
All right. Peace and blessings to you, brother. All right. That was LaRon Barton. We do have our other guest on the line, and we do have a caller. Let me take a station identification. Black Rose, please hang on for me if you would. But we do got a caller who I think wants to chime in on the last topic. So before we transition, let me just go to this caller, and then we will take our station break, kick one music track, and then we have Black Rose, who is a host on Black Talk Radio Network, host, one of the co-hosts and producers of Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio on Wednesday nights at, what is it, 8 o'clock p.m.? Is it 8 o'clock p.m.? No, I'm sorry. It's 10 o'clock p.m. Eastern, right after New Abolitionist Radio. That's right, Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio. The lady's been on hiatus, and they'll be back in September. Well, actually, this Wednesday. But Black Rose is straightening all that out for us. But she is, just been a wonderful person to know, and she's on the ground in Houston. And we just want to get some clarification about some of the things that's going on in Houston. So, Black Rose, please hold on. So let's go to Foundational Radio. Foundational Radio, please, thank you for holding on so patiently. Did you have a question or a comment before we transition to our next topic?
Yes. Greetings, Scotty. Glad to see you're doing okay, Miss Black Rose, and really enjoyed the previous caller. I wanted to ask him, Dave had put me up on this years ago, is that these people who are in control, they think hundreds of years ahead. And both of y'all hit on points as far as, although it's great to see so many people pushing to have these terroristic symbols removed, who's to say that they didn't plan for that? Because every time we believe we catch up, that they begin to switch to the next phase of their plan, and we stuck on the last one while they continuously pushing through. And I just wanted to pose that question to see what y'all thought about that, and have it ever occurred that, remember, this has happened once before during slavery and involuntary servitude, where the blacks and the whites had came together and began to turn. So do you believe, as I do, that this was already foreseen, and that may have been the reason why some of those monuments have been put up as a focus, instead of the focus being on these particular people who are in charge, as opposed to a symbol that can be taken down to give them a little bit more time to go on with their next phase of their plan? And that's all I wanted to say, Scott. Appreciate you taking my call.
All right, you're welcome. Let me say this again. I don't think that they, quote unquote, the system or the people who's in charge, plan for this. Okay, they've been paying for these symbols, like that one in Louisiana where the white guy got busted about to blow up this Confederate statue of an immigrant. I forget his name, but this dude came over here from Ireland, joined the Confederacy, and was just a straight up racist. And so this white guy, who might have had something mentally going on, but he was like a chemist major. He was also going to school, I guess, to further his degree. But he working with chemicals and all that type of stuff, right? And he got caught trying to blow up that statue. No, I don't think the system has been paying to maintain these symbols. These symbols say something to the populace. They promote white supremacy, okay? And it says something to the victims. When you're going into the courthouse on criminal charges for a trial or whatever, that says you ain't getting no justice once you come up in here. That's what that stands for. It's also subjugation. It's daring you to do anything. It's saying to you, look, I can put up monuments to people who enslaved you and murdered you and fought, and you can't do nothing about it. It wasn't. These were put up by a organization known as the Confederate Daughters. Daughters of the Confederacy, Sons of the Confederacy. These were private organizations, all right, of white people who put these up. And the system just went along with it because the system is practicing slavery and it helps them in the furtherance of their slavery. So I don't think they planned for these to come down. If they was going to dismantle them, it had just been an orderly program all at once, like LaRon said. Why is it only coming down one by one or here or there? You know, and again, in Durham, North Carolina, those young people pulled that down, and now they facing felony charges for that. So I don't think that the system planned for that or anything like that. The system loves the propaganda that programs into its victims that you're inferior. So don't even try to challenge it. But let me close out this topic by saying something like what John Sims said in his music track, Burn and Bury. And we had him on as a guest. He's an artist, not just a music artist, but he's a writer, as well as a mathematician, I believe is what he said. But John Sims says that if you can't even pull down the symbols of white supremacy that you do see, that's in your face, and he was talking about the Confederate flag, and he was talking about these monuments, and if you can't even remove those, then what makes you think you can remove the hidden forces that you don't see, that's not so readily? I mean, if you can't do the easy, what makes you think you could do the hard? So from a military perspective, look at it as a training exercise and a recruitment tool. All right. And I say it's still a positive thing. I don't like funding monuments and propaganda to slavery and racism and white supremacy. So it's an insult to me. So I'm going to stand up. I can't stand. I would hate for my grandchild to grow up, and then 30 years later, he's still paying taxes for his own oppression. But again, we know we can't just take this stuff down all at once. And when I say take, I shouldn't say stuff down, but take down the system practicing slavery and racism all at once. You know, revolution comes in stages. And oftentimes it's the little things that spark something big. So all the little things that we can get to pop off as possible, who knows? One day that might be the one that lead a total revolution and revolutionary change. You've been listening to Black Talk Radio. On the Black Talk Radio Network, I'm broadcasting BTR News with your afternoon music mix every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday from noon to 2 p.m. We got Black Rose coming up to give us an update on supposed to affect those on the East Coast. We'll be back on the other side.